Managing a labor force after disaster. One case in point today, Louisiana schools. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. President Obama is set to visit Louisiana today to survey damage and the response to the awful flooding there. Meanwhile, some schools are managing to reopen, although some may stay closed for several weeks. Drying out buildings is part of this. And some 4,000 teachers, custodians, and other staff have been displaced from their homes. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR, Amy Scott reports.
Schools in Tangipahoa Parish, east of Baton Rouge, had been open for one day when the floodwaters came. A week and a half later, classes are expected to resume tomorrow. Dina Esquinance is president of the Tangipahoa Federation of Teachers. She says more than 130 school employees were affected by the flooding. She's been helping some of those teachers recover.
We've been washing clothes. We've been gutting houses, anything that we could possibly do to help.
John White is state superintendent of education. He says even when school buildings reopen,
nearly a tenth of the teacher workforce in Louisiana, as well as bus drivers, cafeteria workers and such, was affected by this. They need to get their lives in order for them to focus on the lives of their children.
White says school systems are working with the Federal Emergency Management Agency to find temporary housing for teachers. The toll on students goes well beyond missed days of instruction. As people in storm-ravaged Louisiana know too well, he says trauma has a long arc. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Let's check the markets. The 100-share index in London, the FTSE, is up 0.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.25% range now. That big Hollywood movie based on the video game World of Warcraft didn't leave much of an impression on U.S. audiences, but Warcraft, the movie, has racked up an impressive $220 million in China. Marketplace's Rima Kreis has more.
Warcraft is about a dark portal, strange magic, and an epic clash between humans and orcs. But for the movie industry, one of the most dramatic moments happened off-screen. PPTV, a Chinese online video network, reportedly paid more than $20 million for the rights to stream the movie beginning next month. Paul Durgarabedian is a media analyst with ComScore.
This could be one of the beginning steps in having China become a huge marketplace for streaming services.
Paying to stream movies in China hasn't really taken off, mainly because of cheap, pirated DVDs. For studios, that means no extra revenue once a film leaves theaters. Stan Rosen, a political science professor at the University of Southern California, says the government has been cracking down on piracy. Plus,
as people become more middle-class oriented with middle-class taste, they want the best quality.
And they're willing to pay for it. Analysts say as streaming deals grow, studios will cater their work even more to the huge Chinese market. I'm Rima Kreis for Marketplace.
France, Germany, Switzerland, Brazil, Japan are among the countries that do not schedule election days during the normal work week. In those countries, as in many others, the general election happens on a weekend. Not in the U.S., where we have to figure out how to manage the boss's demands, school schedules, and often the lines at the periphery of the workday if we want to vote. Well, Noah Fraden is founder of a campaign called Take Tuesday, which is working to persuade U.S. companies to give their employees time off, even a day off, to vote. We linked up with him in Seattle. Noah, good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me on, David.
So what do you want companies to do? Free up people to vote or maybe give them a whole day off?
I think ideally giving a whole day off is great. We also ask if they're not going to give a whole day off that they give a substantial amount of time in the middle of the day. There are a lot of structural barriers in the way of people wanting to vote. And one of the big ones is just the fact that we vote on a weekday, which is a workday for most people. We vote on a Tuesday. It's an outdated practice. And a recent poll has shown that 35% of people who didn't vote because they had conflicts with work or school. And so if we can eliminate some of those conflicts for people, we think that we can increase voter turnout pretty substantially.
Give me a sense of the responses you're getting from companies. Some are saying yes, right?
Oh, yeah. So we released our site with a bunch of our launch partners. I mean, hot startups like Casper and media companies like Thrillist. And they're not only offering the whole day off, but helping to promote this beyond their own company.
But it's not just these groovy startups, right? I mean, you have some established mega corporations that have thought this through.
Well, so GM, Chrysler, and Ford have been giving their employees the day off since 1999 as a result of union negotiations. And we think that if, you know, some of the biggest companies in the world with some of the most complex employee bases are able to do this, then a lot of other companies can do it as well.
I mean, I don't mean to be a cynic, Noah. You worry, right, that people will take the holiday on the Tuesday to do some late autumn winter camping and then burn off a vacation day on the Monday and get a 4-day weekend, and that's not going to help voting.
There are a lot of people in a lot of countries that vote on a weekend and they still go and vote. I mean, their numbers are much higher than ours. Over 50% of the people don't vote in the U.S. right now. The other benefit of giving people the whole day off is that they're not voting just at the beginning and the end of the day. And there was an MIT study recently that showed that long lines disproportionately affect minority populations and lower income populations. And so if we can let people sort of spread out in terms of when they vote, we'll hopefully have a more representative election. And we think that's the best election.
Noah Fredin is founder of this initiative, Take Tuesday, to encourage companies to give the day off or at least some flexibility so you have time to vote this time around. Noah Fredin, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now, many of you are saying just vote by mail or absentee. Fine, point taken. But for the record, just ahead of my state's primary this year, I got sent out of town on business. To get my absentee ballot in time, I had to double park in Newark, run in just before the registrar's office closed, only to be told I wasn't allowed in because I had a pocket digital camera in my bag. You let phones with cameras in, I pleaded. Sorry, those are the rules. Can you hold my camera for a second? Nope. After a couple of quarter-mile dashes, I did get my ballot with about 60 seconds to spare. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Christopher Olin. Our engineer this week, Bill Lance. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.